United States.
Defense spending. Arming up. Hawks want to raise military spending. How big will the next president go?
Presidential elections don't often turn on debates about defense spending, in part because funding the armed forces is one of the few bipartisan traditions left in American politics. Donald Trump and Kamala Harris have both issued vague commitments to strengthen the army, yet neither has offered much detail. The terms of debate are already being set on Capitol Hill, however, and the next president could negotiate with Congress to reshape the Pentagon's future. The vehicle for such decisions is typically the National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, which sets an annual baseline for military expenditures. Haggling usually drags on for months before a bill passes with strong majorities in both houses of Congress. The most recently approved NDAA authorized $874 billion, and Congress is currently wrangling over Joe Biden's $884 billion request for fiscal year 2025. The main question facing the next president will be how much to increase spending. Roger Wicker, the senior Republican on the Senate Armed Services Committee, has called for the country to spend 5% of GDP on defence, up from around 3% today. Republican hawks in Congress and the broader national security establishment have coalesced around a similarly massive increase, and some have even called for the outright doubling of military outlays. Many Democrats oppose such measures, but still agree that Mr. Biden hasn't been aggressive enough. This year, despite Democrats holding the Senate and the White House, Mr. Wicker pushed his committee to authorise $25 billion more than Mr. Biden requested. A handful of lawmakers seek cuts in defence spending, but they lack influence. The real debate is between spending maximalists and those who want higher funding but don't believe that 5% of GDP is politically or fiscally feasible. Jack Reed, the Democratic chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, opposed the bill that came out of his own committee because it would violate spending caps agreed in separate fiscal negotiations. Mike Rogers, Mr. Reed's Republican counterpart in the House, called the Biden request inadequate to restore deterrence, but acquiesced to the hand that was dealt to us. Once this year's fight is resolved, the next president will be able to offer a new opening bid. The question facing a Trump presidency would be whether to embrace the generational investment Mr. Wicker advocates or replicate the more modest increases of Mr. Trump's first term. Ms. Harris would have to decide whether to maintain Mr. Biden's policy of after-inflation spending reductions. Her preferences, as on much else, are hard to predict. America's post-Cold War military forces, built for short, sharp conflicts, don't appear ready for the challenges of today's disordered world, maintaining deterrence in the Middle East, supporting Ukraine in an attritional conflict, adapting to new forms of warfare, and keeping pace with China's rapid military build-up and its growing belligerence. Russia's invasion of Ukraine exposed America's inability to speed up production of munitions and other equipment. The country's defence industrial base has made progress, but there's more work to be done. The next president must decide not only how much to spend, but what to prioritise. How much should America dedicate to procurement of weapons rather than research and development? Should it shift focus to produce greater volumes of simple weapons over more exquisite kit? Which supply chains need to be diversified to avoid dependence on adversaries? Consider one fiscal fight. Mr. Biden requested $166 billion for procurement this year, a cut of nearly $3 billion. He also wants America to buy just one attack submarine, costing nearly $5 billion, a critical platform in a conflict over Taiwan, instead of two. The House and the Senate have moved money around to fund two attack submarines, and the White House has countered that this would mean slower progress on developing the next generation of fighter jets. More money, in theory, might mean fewer trade-offs, but the Pentagon's demand for weapons is limitless. What's needed is strategic coherence. Refitting America's conventional forces is not the only task. China has been energetically modernising its nuclear forces, with the goal of eventually becoming a peer to America and Russia. Nearly every existing arms control agreement between Washington and Moscow has collapsed. and there's no plausible chance for trilateral arms control agreements in the near future. The next president will face difficult and expensive questions about how to prepare for the new nuclear race. The Congressional Budget Office estimated in 2023 that modernizing America's nuclear forces would cost $765 billion over the next decade. Throughout his presidency, Mr. Biden has spoken about defending Taiwan, staying the course with Ukraine, and remaining a steadfast ally to Israel. Across 4 years in office, his rhetoric was not accompanied by ambitious investments. This election will probably be decided on issues such as the economy, abortion, and immigration. But the choices voters make could also have lasting consequences for America's hard power and fiscal health.